Father, here on this beautiful Sunday morning, you deserve all the glory, all the honor. We thank you for your grace and mercy that your word says are fresh each and every morning, that allows anyone here this day in your temple a second chance, those viewing online a needed chance that they need within their life, an opportunity. When it looks like all doors are shut, Lord, you are the door. And your grace and mercy always, always opens the door for your children, Lord. And I pray here this day, Holy Spirit, that you speak, that you make it clear to each and every one of our lives of your will that you desire to have done here on earth as it is in heaven. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here this beautiful Sunday morning. Those viewing online, we thank you for tuning in here this day. Worship team, you may have your seats. Great job. I'm excited here this morning for the team effort in operation, amen. Elias might have put that skit together, but it was a team that made it happen, amen. It was a group effort, and they had a lot of practices, long practices, amen. My wife was having to drive Elias back and forth from the church every week and for solid practices and everything, because the Lord placed that within his heart. The Lord put a burden within his heart a long time ago. He's already putting things together for Easter and so on, because it's been a burden within his heart. We are on a series on the book of Nehemiah, and that's exactly what happened to Nehemiah. A burden took place within his life for the walls of Jerusalem that were in ruin and rubble and the gates that were burned. And even though he was 900 miles away, when he heard of the news, amen, it belonged to him. And I believe here this day as I speak, the Lord is going to place something within your heart, a burden within your heart. Whatever the subject may be, whatever it may be, of something that he has given you to do, something that he has given you to take ownership of. The Lord placed a burden in my heart many years ago while I was still in the rehab directing the homes that I was going to be a pastor. He put that burden there. I didn't even know what a pastor was in those days. I knew what a priest was, growing up a Catholic, but I didn't know what a pastor was. But yet the Lord placed the call within my life, amen, and because it was a burden within my life, amen, I did what was necessary to become a pastor, amen. So I believe there's some necessary changes, if we're honest with ourselves, that all of us need to make right now in order to answer the call and to be able to fulfill the burden that God has placed within your heart. Amen. That goes for those viewing online as well here on this day. I'm real excited right now. It's an exciting time, you know, to be a Christian, amen, to be living in the end times that we're living in, even though they're hard times. It's an exciting time because the coming of Christ draws nearer. It's an exciting time where his word shall come to pass. And here this evening, as we look into the book of Nehemiah, the life of Nehemiah, amen. The title of this morning's message is, How's your portion of the wall looking? How's your portion of the wall looking like? What God has called you to build, what God has called you to do. How your portion of the wall looking like? Before I get into this morning's message, Sister Sonia sent me a video the other day, amen, that I've seen many, many, many. It's been around 10, 13 years, a long time. And I was in prayer when it got sent to me. It was a beautiful day outside. I was on the deck, and I clicked on it, and it was a video I knew well of, but I haven't heard in a long, long time, and it's in regards to David Wilkerson, amen, the founder of Teen Challenge, where Nikki Cruz would get saved, and then our founder, Pastor Sonny Argonzoni, would come in to the center and get saved, and Victory Outreach would give birth. But before Nikki Cruz and before there was a Pastor Sonny, there was a David Wilkerson, white Caucasian country boy, that God put a burden within his heart, out of all places, to go to New York. It didn't fit, it didn't make sense, but yet God placed the burden. And because David Wilkerson was obedient to the burden in answering the call of God for his life and going to New York, is why not only Victory Outreach is all over the world in over 30 countries, but Teen Challenges is in a lot of locations also. It didn't fit. It was, looked like the wrong person for the wrong New York City. So we're going to watch a 7-minute clip on the real deal. On the real deal, as we watch, as we turn the lights off here this day and the video plays, I want everybody focus to this video.
And I look at the whole religious scene today, and all I see are the inventions and ministries of man and flesh. It's mostly powerless. It has no impact on the world. And I see more of the world coming into the church and impacting the church rather than the church impacting the world. I see the music taking over the house of God. I see entertainment taking over the house of God. An obsession with entertainment in God's house, a hatred of correction and a hatred of reproof. Nobody wants to hear it anymore. Whatever happened to anguish in the house of God? Whatever happened to anguish in the ministry? It's a word you don't hear in this pampered age. You don't hear it. Anguish means extreme pain and distress. The emotion so stirred that it becomes painful, acute, deeply felt inner pain because of conditions about you, in you or around you. Anguish, deep pain, deep sorrow, agony of God's heart. We've held on to our religious rhetoric and our revival talk, but we've become so passive. All true passion is born out of anguish. All true passion for Christ comes out of a baptism of anguish. You search the scripture and you find that when God determined to recover a ruined situation, he would share his own anguish for what God saw happening to his church and to his people. And he would find a praying man, and he would take that man and literally baptize him in anguish find it in the book of Nehemiah. Jerusalem is in ruins. How is God going to deal with this? How is God going to restore the ruin? The fulfillment. Nehemiah was not a preacher. He was a career man. But this was a praying man. And God found a man who would not just have a flash of emotion, not just some great sudden burst of concern and then let it die. He said, no, I broke down and I wept and I mourned and I fasted. And then I began to pray night and day. Why didn't these other men, why didn't they have an answer? Why didn't God use them in restoration? Why didn't they have a word? Because there was no sign of anguish, no weeping, not a word of prayer. It's all ruin. Does it matter to you today? Does it matter to you at all that God's spiritual Jerusalem, the church, is now married to the world? That there's such a coldness sweeping the land? Closer than that, does it matter about the Jerusalem that's in our own hearts? The sign of ruin that's slowly draining spiritual power and passion, blind to lukewarmness, blind to the mixture that's creeping in. That's all the devil wants to do, is get the fight out of you and kill it. So you won't labor in prayer anymore. You won't weep before God anymore. You can sit and watch television and your family go to hell. Let me ask you, is what I just said convicted you at all? There's a great difference between anguish and concern. Concern is something that begins to interest you. You take an interest in a project or a cause or a concern or a need. And I'm going to tell you something I've learned over all my years, 50 years of preaching. If it is not born in anguish, if it has not been born by the Holy Spirit, where when you saw and heard of the ruin, it drove you to your knees, took you down into a baptism of anguish where you began to pray and seek God. I know now. Oh my God, do I know it. Until I'm in agony, until I have been anguished over it, and all our projects, all our ministries, everything we do, where are the Sunday school teachers that weep over kids they know are not here and they're going to hell? You see, a true prayer life begins at the place of anguish. You see, if you set your heart to pray, God's going to come and start sharing his heart with you. Your heart begins to cry out, oh God, your name is being blasphemed. The Holy Spirit's being mocked. The enemy is out trying to destroy the testimony of the Lord's faithfulness, and something has to be done. There's going to be no renewal, no revival, no awakening until we're willing to let him once again break us. Folks, it's getting late and it's getting serious. Please don't tell me you're concerned when you're spending hours in front of internet or television. Come on. Lord, there's something to get this altar and confess. I am not what I was. I'm not where I'm supposed to be. God, I don't have your heart or your burden. I wanted it easy. Didn't want to be happy. But Lord, true joy comes. True joy comes out of anguish. There's nothing of the flesh will give you joy. I don't care how much money, I don't care what kind of new house there is. Absolutely nothing physical can give you joy. It's only what is accomplished by the Holy Spirit when you obey Him and take on His heart. Build the walls around your family. Build the walls around your own heart. Make you strong and impregnable against the enemy. God, that's what we desire.
Amen. A powerful 7-minute clip. And I believe that was written 13 years ago, before the internet is where it's at today, and all the things that are taking place, the COVID, and this was written, spoken by David Wilkerson many, many, many years ago, of what God was showing him of what literally is taking place right now in our present world right now. Once again, the title of the message, How's Your Portion of the Wall Looking? I'm going to show us today through God's Word, amen, that we all have a portion of the wall to build that's in ruin right now. We all play a part in it. Amen? As we go to the Word of the Lord here this morning, Nehemiah chapter 2, verses 11 and 12, I want to open up with. And the Bible reads, So I arrived in Jerusalem 3 days later. I slipped out during the night, taking only a few others with me. I had not told anyone. Listen real carefully. I had not told anyone about the plans God had put in my heart for Jerusalem. We took no pack animals with us except the donkey I was riding. Here the Bible clearly in verse 12 here tells us that the plan that Nehemiah had in his heart was a plan straight from God. And the way he was able to receive the plan that belonged to God that was sent to Nehemiah was that Nehemiah was a praying man. He was one that communicated with the Lord, and the Lord would communicate with him. And once again, even though he was 900 miles away from Jerusalem, because he was a praying man, the plan of God entered his heart. It was not just any plan, but it was the plan of God that was placed in the heart of Nehemiah for him to lead and carry out in the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem along with the gates that have been caught on fire. And I placed in my notes, even though it was God's plan that he placed in the heart of Nehemiah, it still took Nehemiah and the people to build it. We have the plan of God here in the church right now. God has given me the plan. I'm in prayer daily with the Lord, wanting to know what is his next move, what does he want to do, not only in my life, but in the life of the church, Victory Outreach, Milwaukee. And it's very difficult and hard for the Lord to give you part of the plan that he has for you to do your part of the plan that he has for this church and city when you are not in prayer. It's very hard for the Lord to connect with you when you're not in prayer. And when one is not in prayer, it's very easy for the enemy to connect with you, even using God's word. The enemy will even use the truth. He just doesn't use lies to deceive the Christian, the believer. He'll even use the word of God of truth that's meant to set you free, and he'll use it in such a way that you'll rather hear him give you the scripture than your pastor. And the times and the reasons that you'll rather hear it from him is because you're not in prayer. And it's not like nobody's going to talk to you. The devil's always willing to talk to anybody and everybody, no matter what side of the tracks you live at. And when the enemy knows you're not in communication, in prayer, doing the things of God, he will speak to you, and you will hear his voice. Because you can follow the devil in the physical, in the natural. But if you want to be led of the Lord in spirit and truth, you got to connect in spirit and truth to the Father. We're living in end times right now, and it's important. This next April is 20 years I've been preaching in this city, and from the real beginning. From the real beginning, I've always spoken on having a true relationship with the Lord. Amen. Not really knowing all that was tied into that. I just knew prayer and reading was the right thing to do. But as the years have gone by and the years have passed, now I see the importance of being in prayer. Not just to be protected by the Lord, but to hear the Lord and to be used of the Lord, especially in these darkened end times that we're living in. It's just hard, as much as the Lord loves us, for him to use somebody that's not in prayer. Prayer is a language. God's word is a language, and you need to learn it in order to communicate with the Lord. Do you know that if there is no prayer or reading within your life, even though the Bible is in English, it's Chinese to you? It's a language. It's a language you can only learn by reading it and calling out to the Lord. Too many Christians say for years and years and years and never learn the language of the Lord. I'm preaching hard here this day because I know we're living in end times. I preach in love. I preach in concern for your life, your salvation, the call upon your life, that God would speak to you as I'm speaking of the changes that need to be made within your life, that it just doesn't continue to get put off and put off and put off and put off and put off. Even though it was God's plan that he placed in the heart of Nehemiah, it still took Nehemiah and the people to build it. In chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, the Bible reads, "But now I said to them," at the beginning he checked it out with just a few on donkey by night, and now it was time for him to give the plan of God that he had put in his heart to the people. "But now I said to them," you know very well what trouble we are in. Jerusalem lies in ruins. Isn't that kind of like the condition of Milwaukee right now? Don't you know that the city of Milwaukee is in trouble right now? That it's not getting better, but it's getting worse. Jerusalem, Milwaukee lies in ruins, and its gates have been destroyed by fire. And Nehemiah goes to speak to the people, but he says, "Let us rebuild the wall of Milwaukee and end the disgrace." Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me, and about my conversation with the king. This is your all's part. They replied at once, "Yes, let us build the wall." So they begin the good work. Here in verse 18, we find Nehemiah speaking to the people that the hand of God was upon his life. That it was the hand of God that drew him 900 miles to Jerusalem with the plan of God, with the burden within his heart. I shared last week that he just didn't have any job. He was the cupbearer of the king. He would taste the wine before the king would drink it in case it was poison. He had a very, very important job. And yet, as important as it was, because the hand of God was upon his life and he had given him the plan, the king gave him 52 days to go accomplish what God had placed within his heart. So Nehemiah reminds the people that the hand of God was with him. He also reminds the people about the conversation he had with the king. How the king would give him the time he needed. How the king would give him the timber and the worksmen and skilled people protection on the trip all the way to Jerusalem. He was telling the people that God was with them and that there was proof that God was with them. And I believe here this day, going on 20 years, that we can say God is with us, that there's a proof that God's been with us, he's with us, and he's given us all a plan in rebuilding the walls of Milwaukee, in rebuilding the walls of your family, of your life, that for some lie in ruin, the enemy has gotten in. What are you doing about it? To ensure both speed and quality of workmanship, Nehemiah assigned each worker, each one of us, the portion of the wall nearest the worker's own house. Amen? Remember, the city was, it was over 2 miles long, this wall. This wall wasn't a 4-foot wall, as you see, or a 6-foot wall. It was a 39-foot wall. And what Nehemiah did, wherever that portion of the wall was, the family that lived here, where the portion was all in ruins, he would allow this family to take care of this portion of the wall. And then as you would go a little bit further, there was another family, and their assignment from Nehemiah was to take care of this portion of the wall. And then as you would go a little further, there was another family, and they would take care of the portion of the wall right in front of their house. Right in front of their house. He assigned portions of the wall nearest to the worker's own house. I put here, there's a lot of incentive to do a good job when you know that if the enemies break through a defective portion of the wall, the first people jeopardized will be your own family. Or if you were not doing your portion of the wall, what God has called you to do here in the church, the next family next to you, their wall was already 39 feet high. It was complete. But your wall was real low. And then because you didn't think it was important to build. Then the next family to the left of you, the one on the right has done their job. You're not doing your job. The one on the left is 39 feet up. So if the enemy was going to attack, where do you think that he would come through? He's going to come through the weakest, lowest part of the wall. And I believe here this day, majority have apartments, a few own houses. What is your portion of the wall looking like? Spiritually, I'm speaking about. When it comes to prayer and word, not what you think your part of the wall looks like, what you hope it looks like, but based on prayer and word, what does your portion of the wall look like? Would your wall be able to speak for you and say you've been building? Would your wall be able to speak for you without saying a word? Oh, so-and-so family, they're getting busy. So, yep, so-and-so family, they're getting busy. Oh, man, but you, They don't want to do nothing. Oh, I'm going to say a last name. I hope it's nobody's last name. No. Might be a Smith up in the crowd. Let me see. Who? Snyder. I don't think there's a last name of Snyder. There is. It's a prophetic. God is pulling your covers. But the Snyder family, yeah, their participation, they go to church. They go to church. But spiritually, their wall is not built. They know the Bible. They know the right words to say. But when you look at the spiritual wall in front of their house, it ain't very high. In Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 28, a heavy scripture to confirm everything I've been saying right now about building. He set them up to build the portion of wall in front of their house. As we go to God's word, above the horse gate, the priests repaired the wall. Each one, I want you to read with me. Look at the screen. Each one repaired the section immediately across from his own house. The immediate area right in front of the house. Each one repaired the section immediately across from his own house. I'm going to give you some more examples. Amen. That it wasn't just there at the horse gate. A lot of big names here. I'm going to kind of race through them, some big names. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here's a few more examples. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 10. And the Bible reads, next Judea, son of Haramoth, repaired the wall across from his own house. Amen. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 21. Meremoth, son of Uriah and grandson of Hakoz, rebuilt another section of the wall extending from the door of Eliashib's house to the end of the house. Amen. Let's go to Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 23. In this verse, we're going to find two names, two houses. Amen. As we read verse 23. After them, Benjamin and Hashub repaired the section across from their house. And Azariah, son of Maaseiah, and grandson and Ananiah repaired the section across from his house. Let's go to Nehemiah if you're not convinced yet. Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 29. And the Bible says, next Zadok, son of Immer, also rebuilt the wall across from his own house. Let's go to chapter Nehemiah chapter 3, verse 20. Amen. And the Bible reads, next to him was Barak, son of Zabai, who zealously repaired an additional section from the angle to the door of the house of Eliashib, the high priest. Let's keep going to the end of verse 30. Let's go. I reset 30, or didn't I? Next, Hananiah, son of Jelemiah, and Hanan, the sixth son of Zalaph, repaired another section. What Meshullam, son of Berechiah, rebuilt the wall across from where he lived. A lot of examples there, amen? So we get the picture, amen? We get the picture, and the wisdom God had given Nehemiah was to allow the people that lived there to work the section, the portion of the wall that was ruined immediately in front of their house. That it would put an emphasis for them not only to get the job done, but do a good job. Because it meant the protection for their family. And I believe too many times we might be building, but not building carefully or building sloppy. It's a simple word here this day. And once again, it's going back to praying with the Lord and reading and being able to feel what God feels in this time and age that we live in, to be able to feel what God has placed in your heart to help this church grow. I asked the leadership to give me a short phrase, a note of what they're going to do that's new in helping to grow this church. And a few of them gave me some great things that they're going to be doing that I know are totally different. They just didn't give me an answer that it sounded good. But it was something new and something fresh that they gave me. Because they're in it. But I got to be honest, I'm still waiting for a few to give me their great plan that's something new. A lot of times we feel it's not important to do our part. Even if it deals with the livelihood of your house, your marriage, your children. Sometimes you want to help, sometimes you don't want to help. So what you're really saying is, sometimes I let the enemy in, and sometimes I don't let the enemy in. Because remember, these walls are spiritual. These spiritual walls that surround our mind to think correctly, to discern correctly. These spiritual walls that surround our heart to only let in what God wants done and to keep out the work of the enemy. But too many times we just want to serve when we're feeling it. When everything's going good. Nehemiah picked a time that was bad. Jerusalem was in ruin, in disgrace. It's hard to worship the Lord when there's disgrace taking place within your life. There was disgrace in the city of Jerusalem. They were in trouble. And even though there was a church in the middle of these ruined walls, God couldn't do what he wanted to do. And I know he couldn't do what he wanted to do, because if he could, he would have used a man or a group of men from Jerusalem to fix the walls. But he had to go 900 miles to call upon the praying life of Nehemiah. Jerusalem had the church. The temple was open. But the walls, the protection, were in ruin. They were in disgrace. How far does God have to travel to do what he wants to accomplish in this church? Some of you serve only based on feelings. If you ain't feeling it, you don't serve. If you're feeling happy, you serve. I would have to question your praying life. Don't get mad at me. David Wilkerson kicked this one off. At the end, I'll play that 7-minute clip again. He just warmed me up. He said it 13 years ago, he was given this. He said it. Nobody can get corrected no more. They lose it. Nobody can no more. But when we're in the world, oh my Lord, we did whatever the connection said. We did whatever we had to do. No matter what state of disgrace we were in, we were there to build the work of the enemy. We just didn't do our portion. We did the neighbor's portion, the next. He said, Satan, I got it. I got this, Satan. I got the 2 miles. I got all Milwaukee, Satan. Just give me some dope. Give me a little bit of running money, and I'll take care of all the wall. I'll destroy all the walls. I'll burn the gates. Come on, Satan, give me a little bit more work. Give me a little bit more work. We were all over the place. Some of you jumped from state to state to state, burning walls and the gates of the church. But now God, strategically through his grace and mercy, asks us just to build immediately your portion of the wall before your very own house. I got little cheat notes on my notes right there saying be nice and be encouraging. I forgot to put them last Sunday. It looks like I forgot to put them this Sunday. I did. I'm giving you good stuff right now. I'm giving you set you free stuff right now. I'm giving you breakthrough for your marriage, breakthrough for your children stuff right now, breakthrough stuff for your house that you're trying to figure out. Giving you breakthrough stuff. But it's not what some of you are wanting to hear. Will you respond like the people responded to Nehemiah? Let's do it. Let's build at once. Let's start the good work. But it's hard to work when you're in disgrace. When everything's in ruins in your house, in your thinking, in your heart. I get it. It's hard to build when you're in disgrace, when certain things ain't going right or well as you would want them to. I get it. Does that mean stop praying? Don't come to church? No. Question. What are the conditions of your house, apartment? What is the condition of the spiritual walls around your house right now? You got to ask yourself, spiritual walls. I always say the condition of your place, the place where you stay and live, is what you bring to the church, whether it's good or bad. The strength of the church is truly the strength of what's going on in your house. So based on what's going on in your house, would you be able to say our church is strong? Or would you have to say weak spot? In sports, NFL, any sport, if a corner would get hurt, the one that could cover any wide receiver would get hurt, they would put a guy not as talented, and there would be a weak spot on the defense, and the quarterback would run towards that way all the time because it wasn't a guy that usually plays that position. Would you consider yourself a weak spot or a power spot? Spiritually speaking, would you say, don't you dare call me weak spot? Can you claim that there is power in your life right now? Not perfect. Nobody's perfect. Can you say that the fire is ablaze within your heart right now? That there's a burden in your heart right now that you want to do for the church, which means to the Father, the head of the church, of the body of Christ. Something that He has placed within you in doing your part to allow the church to be successful, to allow our families to be successful, which represents the church to be successful, represents your household to be successful. Are you doing at your house what brings success or disgrace? In Nehemiah chapter 4, 17-18. Whenever you're doing what's right and you're building your party, you better know that opposition is sure to come. Opposition does not only come when you're in sin and doing wrong. Opposition also comes even the more when you're making the right moves, doing the right things. And here the Bible tells us in these few verses, it says, who were building the wall, it says, the laborers, the workers, carried on their work with one hand. In other words, they were working with one hand, supporting their load, and one hand holding a weapon. Amen. So in other words, they had a hammer in one hand, amen, and according to scripture, a sword in the other hand. It says all the builders, not some. All the builders that were partaking, the families, the portion, the section immediately before their house. The Bible says that all the builders had a sword belted to their side, a sword, amen? Not just a hammer or a tool belt. The trumpeter stayed with me to the sound of the alarm. In other words, they were busy building the wall, but they also had the word, the sword of the Spirit with them, amen? They were working in the physical, but they also had, they says all the builders had a sword, amen, belted to their side. In other words, they would work, and then they would have to stop and battle. Work, stop and battle. Work, stop and battle. See, the problem has never been going to work. The problem has been spiritual battle in your life. You go to work every day, and the battle comes, and the battle comes, and all you do is muster up enough strength to go to work again. You muster up enough strength to go to work again. The problem has never been going to work. The problem has been stopping at times and fighting the good fight, running the good race, drawing that sword. The problem has never been work, but spending time with the Lord. I can't get high doing the work I do unless I'm with the Lord first. I cannot take off, go be with my chickens, the dogs, whatever I do out there in the country. To enjoy the sun and the scenery, I first got to enjoy it with the Lord. I can't do it any other way. I don't want to do it any other way. I can't have joy. But after I prayed up and everything, and I put the sword away, it's get the hammer on, work, 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 work. Yesterday, for the first time in about 5 years, I love fishing. I haven't gone. And me and Jason, Kristen were working. I'm sorry, Jason. I said I wasn't going to say nothing. About 4 days ago, Jason's been a blessing to the school, the church, my house, to a lot of people. Let's give Brother Jason a good clap offering. He's a quiet creeper in the back. We went to Farming Fleet there at my house, next to my house out there in Germantown. And I love that place. As a kid, I used to walk into feed stores, living in the country, looking at chickens and pigs and turkeys. And so when I go there, I get happy, man, even though I'm 59 years old. Amen. So we're in there the other day, and I says, man, let's buy us some fishing poles, Jason. And Jason goes, man, he's a good fisherman. Amen. Until yesterday. But follow the story. Follow the story. So anyhow, it's a true story. I got proof. I got pictures. So anyhow, we went to Farming Fleet. And we're looking at the poles, and I'm just following his lead because he knows more than I do on fishing. I have a certain way of fishing in Texas. Big rods, big poles, big fish. Amen? Over here, it's more the game fish stuff, the bass and smaller fish. They got some big ones, he says here. I not seen one yet, but. So he was getting a pole, and he goes, man, ain't going to spend no money on no fishing pole, you know? Ain't going to spend no money on no fishing pole. The poverty of his mind, amen, follow me. We're there, and I says, Jason, I'm getting the pole for you, amen, and I'm broke right now. I says, the pole you get, the reel you get, is the pole I get and the reel I get. But I want you to pick a good one, because I don't want to walk out of here with a junky pole. Oh, Pastor, this is too much. He makes good money. It's too much. It's the mentality. I says, Jason, I'm going to stop smoking now. I know for sure you better stop. A carton of cigarettes, Jason, goes for about $80 to $90. It's like we're getting these fishing poles for free, dude. '26 in Burleigh, even though he's white Caucasian, '26 in Burleigh was his stomping grounds. Stuck in addiction, stuck in heroin addiction. His mother OD'd, his wife OD'd. His brother's still out there. I says, I'm getting you, man, get a good one, because what you get, I'm going to get. And I says, you're no longer spending $80, $90 for a carton of cigarettes. And I go, and you buy pack for pack. So it's probably $150 by the time you smoke 10, 12 pack. How many come in a carton, 10 or 20? Yeah. Oh, thank you, love. That's just a good memory that
25 years there. Oh, then grandpa's next to her. She pointed at grandpa and she buys cards for grandpa. Grandpa, raise your hand. Let's give grandpa a clap offering. Grandpa gave the revelation to my wife. I said, man, love, that's a good, I don't know if it's 10 or 20 coming to card. I lost long time ago. So I said, man, Jason, you buy them by the bag, man. That's like $1,000 a carton. And you don't want a good fishing pole? You haven't been fishing. And you haven't been smoking or nothing. We're getting these poles for free, man. If God was to say, pick whatever pole you want, are you getting a junky one or are you going to get a good one? I'm getting a good one. Well, Pastor, you know, this pole, man, this is a good pole, Pastor. We're getting it. What's the real? But man, Pastor, you know, I don't want to spend this kind of money. I said, I'm buying it for you. So we get it. We get a little some line, the best fishing line and some hooks and everything. That was about a week ago. And yesterday we were working at the house. We got done real early. It was a beautiful, like, Northern California day yesterday. The weather was. I said, let's go fishing, dude. He looked at me, fishing? Because he's so used to working just like I am. And like fishing didn't fit because I could have found 1,000 more things to do. I said, we're going fishing, dude. Come on, man. You're the great white hunter. You know, big Wisconsin. You know all the spots. Oh, we got to get a boat, man. The spots I know, you got to go in a boat. I said, man, skip all that, man. Go find me some little charco, we call in Texas, a little section of water, and we're going to go catch us some. Oh, we couldn't find it. So we just got in the truck, threw, got some worms, got a McDonald's, amen. Got a strawberry shake that wasn't a strawberry shake. The guy gave him another one that still wasn't a strawberry shake. He got a Monster, I got a Red Bull, and we were gone, baby, fishing. We went to Cedarburg, went to some little rock river, whatever they call it. And he was hooking my brand new pole while we were driving. So when we got there, Jack, I got down. My pole was ready to go. Amen? So I'd been fishing already like for 10 minutes. You know, he still had to rod up his reel and everything. Then he comes out there, and he's only there for 5 seconds. He catches a fish before I did, right? And I was like, inside, I said, you little sucker. But the fish was this big. He has a picture where the worm was longer than the fish. We got proof of that. And Maya was like, how did that little fish think he was going to get that worm in his mouth? We had Canadian crawlers, man, big old, that looked like snakes. So he comes with a little fish like this, all the way, I was like 40 feet away from him, right? He comes to where I'm at. I hadn't caught one yet, and I already had a 10-minute head start on him, and he throws the fish in front of the water where I was at. He goes, here, I'll bring it to you. I'll bring it to you. I said, you did not. You did not. Real humble, but he was walking in pride. You know, Jay-Z, he just walks like, but he was being prideful. So he threw the fish in front of where I was fishing. So then the day went on. I started catching fish. He's out there catching fish, claimed that one was so big it broke his line and all this stuff. But there's no proof of that. No proof. It's a fishing story, amen? I have proof of my camera. Everybody wants to see it. I got it. He says, oh, you put the fish a certain way to make it look bigger. I says, what? Player hater. So we finished fishing. We get in the truck. And I says, well, Jason, at least you're going to get the trophy for catching the first fish. But I'm going to get the trophy catching the big fish. I said, don't worry about it, Jason. I ain't going to say nothing in the church. I ain't going to say nothing about it. I bet you he'll never throw a fish in front of me like that and mock me ever again. Man, I looked up at God, God of the heavens. Show him what time it is. Show him the communication we have. Boy, I caught me a catfish right after that. I don't know how I went through that story. Oh, the cigarette, the poles, something like that. Of money no longer spent dumb to allow us to do what we did yesterday. Because addiction is no longer there. The ruin, the disgrace is no longer there. But because it was in his life for so long, he makes big money, company vehicle, benefits. His mentality from 26 in Burleigh says, oh, I don't want to kind of spend that kind of money on a fishing pole. When God has changed his life to have good things, things that are going to last. And too many times there's things still taking place that are robbing us, if not of our finances, of our time and our thinking. The problem has never been work, but spending time with the Lord. Many providing with what work has to offer, but how about what God has to offer? Work is able to provide the groceries, the bills paid and everything. But what God is able to do is give you a house of peace and love. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering, man. Question, how are you spiritually building at your house? And if you really are sincere with yourself, you would probably be able to dial in why certain things are taking place still at your house. For the men, I'm not backing up the women, amen, but we're the head of our households. And we are to put the house in order spiritually, not just providing for it, but to spiritually be in prayer and word, that our spouse should be able to see it, our children should be able to see it. Because one day it's going to be their turn, but what they do is what they have learned by what you have done. Allow the Lord to move your heart here this day. I'm not mad at nobody. I need you guys. Nehemiah needed the people. He couldn't build. Even though God gave him the plan, he couldn't do it by himself. He needed the people to do their part. Don't you want victory in your house? Don't you want victory in the house of the Lord? Don't you want victory in this city? Don't you want to be able to say, man, I had something to do with that. I was part of that work. I was part of that work. You can start today. I'm not picking up an offering. I'm trying to grab your heart right now. You have so much to offer. God has given us all gifts and talents. But I believe right now he's dropping a burden in somebody's heart just to stop the dumb stuff and do the plan that God has placed within your heart as we stand this day. Let the church light up this city. Let the church light up the city. And I know when you're tripping out, I trip out also. I'm just not going to go do dumb stuff. And I run a little quicker to prayer, but that took a lot of years to establish. We can talk a good talk. How did that saying go? The not talking, the showing. How'd it go? Say it. We got to be that VO Milwaukee's a doing church. It's a doing church. It's a get busy church. The Great Lakes region is a doing region. The international work of Victor Outreach is a doing ministry. It's a doer ministry. We got to do our part. If you expect the wall to be built in front of your house, within your mind and heart, you got to do your part, because the enemy will come in to the person that's not doing their part. It's an easy way in to get into the church. Whatever the song is, guys, whatever the song is. I'm going to open up the altars right now, because I believe there's some that need help in the church right now. And a lot of times what's taking place is because we're not taking our place within the church, responding to the message, responding to the call of God upon your life. It's not too hard. You just got to be willing. You got to be willing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 Lord. The Lord to fill you with His Spirit. Some of you need to close your eyes. You just need to close your eyes. Just close your eyes and allow the Lord to drop His plan within your life. Jesus. The hand of the Lord is with us, church. He's been with us, and He will continue to be with us. Allow Him to use your life. Allow Him to place a burden within your heart here this day to make a difference. Make a difference. Make a difference. Make a difference. God has called you to do something great. To do something great. Because we serve a great God, a loving God. When I first got saved, and God moved my heart, when He moved my heart, me not knowing no Bible, no prayer, first service in Victor Robbie's there in Salinas, California, when He moved my heart, He told me it was to do something great at my worst time, fresh out of prison. He would move my heart and say that He was going to do something great through my ruined life that laid in rubbles, that the world had destroyed. The very beginning, very service, He moved my heart that I was going to do something great, not having a clue that I would end up in Milwaukee one day in 2003. But God knew. And because God knew and I knew, It was going to be, I didn't know what it was going to be, but I knew it was going to be something big. It's why I said yes, yes, yes to everything that was asked of me. I said yes, yes, whether I knew how to do it or not. Yes, yes, yes. Got me to Milwaukee. Yes, got me to Milwaukee. And my yes is allowed. What God saw way before I saw it, of the greatness that He was stirring in my heart, even though I didn't have a clue, God saw it all as we continue with the song. Say yes. You got it. You got it. It don't matter. Your present condition does not matter. When God calls a man, when God calls a woman, when God calls a young adult, your present condition doesn't matter. What matters is who is calling the plan of God upon your life. What God says matters here this day. It's not what the enemy says. It's what God says. And He's looking for some willing vessels that He can stir, that He can transform to be able to use them as vessels of honor for His glory and for His honor. Men, women, young adults that answer the call of God upon their lives. Oh, Shatayerebesitarabakoya. Let's build it, church. Let's build the walls. Let's build the gates. Let's do our part within this city of Milwaukee. Oh, hallelujah. Nehemiah 2:18, the Bible reads, "Then I told them about how the gracious hand of God had been on me and about my conversation with the king. They replied at once, 'Yes!' Not 'No! I'm too much in disgrace. It's too much work. It's too hard.' But the Bible says they replied at once, 'Yes! Let's rebuild the wall.' So they began the good work." All the Lord needs from your life is a yes. It's a yes, not a maybe. No, not today. Maybe next week. Wait till I get stronger. Wait till I get better. I'm not ready for it yet. All the Lord is looking for is a yes from your life. Father, we thank You here this day. We thank You for Your word. And I pray that you touch every man, woman, and young adult here this day, those viewing online, Lord Father God, that you put a yes within their life, Lord, so that you can start the good work, Lord. In your precious name we pray, and we all say in one accord, amen. Let's give the Lord a good clap offering here. Hallelujah. Are we going to rebuild the city of Milwaukee? Yes. Are we going to rebuild the church? Yes. Are we going to rebuild where we live at? Yes. Yes.